The word of the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the Apostle Paul, in his closing words to the church that he planted, said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, being the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." I invite you to pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, we do bow ourselves before you. We thank you so much for the goodness of your name. Lord, we thank you for all of the faithfulness that you have shown to us in yet another week of life. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the food and clothing and shelter which we have enjoyed. Lord, we thank you for the strength you've given us in caring for our families and discharging our duties of work and the things you've given us to do. Lord, we thank you for the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his precious blood, which he shed for our sins. We thank you for his example of what it is to faithfully obey you and to endure suffering. We have drawn much strength from his example, even this week, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you live forever and that we have gotten to celebrate even today that you are alive and calling people to faith in your name and making them a new creation in Christ. So, Lord, for all these things, we bless you and we give you thanks. We thank you for your word. Lord, we long to see Jesus again this morning. He gives us living water. He is our bread of life, and we know that he is our good shepherd. So please come to us now. Help us to see Christ laid out for us in the word. And may you bless us, Lord, with a growing faith and a growing obedience and a knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, in this single verse of scripture that's before us, again, I'll read it once more. Paul's closing word, he says to the church at Corinth, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It's fairly remarkable that even in such a ministry as to the Corinthians that he had with them, Paul could end with such cheerful words. I don't have time to unfold it all now, but if you know anything about the church in Corinth, they were a pain in Paul's neck. They were a very difficult church. It was not the best relationship that he had with them. They had tried to kick him out over a number of times, even though he was the one who had first brought the gospel to them. They're kind of like the in-laws that you really just have to deal with once or twice a year at the holidays, something you have to mentally prepare yourself for. This is not going to be an easy go-around. But I want us to note that even in such a ministry conflict with the Corinthians, Paul could at the same time give them stern corrections and rebukes and yet still close with a comforting blessing. He could still close with a comforting blessing. We just learn from the scriptures at a glance here that we love because God first loved us. We're even able to love when we don't feel like it. Anybody have an opportunity this past week to love even when you did not feel like it? Sometimes we're even conscious of that fact where you can say to yourself, "I don't want to do the right thing in this moment. I don't feel like loving in this moment. I need to make a conscious choice." You feel like you're dying to yourself as you love in the way that God has loved you. And that is especially a gift to Christians, not just in America, but all over the world, where it's very confusing about what love is or isn't. Love often in the world thinks about it has to be a total affirmation of all that a person represents. But in the Bible, we see that Paul was able to give stern corrections to the Corinthians and yet still love them the way that Jesus Christ loved them. He closes with these words of a blessing. That's what this final verse is. It's a benediction. It's a word of blessing upon the Corinthians. And just remember, whatever conflicts you may find yourself in or difficulties you find yourself in, the Lord still expects us to demonstrate a Christian character and a Christian love. Do not doubt the power of Christ working in you and through you to love the people. Unite multiple believers in good times and in bad times. The reason this family of God in the book of Corinthians pulled together was because they had become one in Jesus Christ. They have one Lord, one faith, and one cross upon which Jesus died to save them from. So they're able to pull together in this. But we also see in this verse, we're reminded, as you hopefully should know, if you've been walking with Christ for any number of days, that we're reminded that our Christian faith is Trinitarian in nature. God has revealed himself as one God existing in three persons. And you see that especially in a verse like this, where you have the person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you have countless other passages of Scripture in the Old and New Testament that show these things. And it's just a good example that though the word Trinity is not in your Bible, don't worry, don't be stunned by that. I've looked, it's not in there. Though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, the doctrine, the truth of it, is. So again, for example, what you can learn from this is even if the vowels and consonants of something are not printed on the pages of your Scripture, it doesn't mean that the truth of it is not necessarily contained in what is taught in the whole of the Bible. So we see that it doesn't... We can be in accord with sound doctrine and part of the faith. This is part of the preached word that Paul is giving. And where we're all going with this morning is that the doctrine of the Trinity calls for faithful contending. Christians over centuries have lived and died to defend the truth that we have one God existing in three persons. It's actually one of the reasons that proves that Christianity is true is that it has not changed in thousands of years. But what I want us to focus on this morning, and what I want you to take away from this and not forget this morning, is that the doctrine of the Trinity is not just for faithfully contending, faithfully fighting for, but the doctrine of the Trinity is for our regular communion with God. We are supposed to regularly commune with our God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I want you to think today about having consistent communion with our triune God, all right? This is the bread and butter of the Christian life. I was invited to a fancy lunch meeting at the Union Club on Friday, which is always stressful for me because I don't own fancy clothes, as most of you know. So I'm trying to find the fanciest stuff I got, and I love it because when you get there, you know, it's a lot of talking and it's a lot of waiting for the food to be brought out. But thankfully, what they have at the center of the table, bread and butter. And, you know, all these guys are just sitting around, they're not talking. I'm like, well, if no one's going to eat this bread, I'm going to dig in, you know, and I'm taking like half the butter off the thing. And, you know, who doesn't love bread and butter, right? It nourishes you. It sustains you. It kept my hands from shaking. It kept me from getting hangry, right? My wife, when she gets hungry, she goes from happy to hangry in like a matter of 2 minutes. I learned this early on in our relationship when we took car rides together. She would like drop hints. I think I'm kind of getting hungry. And then all of a sudden, like 2 minutes later, she's just staring out the window like she's not talking anymore. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I told you like 2 miles ago I was hungry, you know? So we all get hungry. We all need the bread and butter. And my point in illustrating those things is the Christian life needs the bread and butter of consistent communion with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the God that we must walk with. Now, a lot of times we treat the Trinity like a collectible item, right? What's the deal with a collectible item? It has great value, right? But often little use. Collectible items have great value, but often little use. I have a signed Bob Feller baseball. It's on a box, and it's on my bookshelf in my office, and it's probably worth something, but I don't play catch with that baseball. I keep it closed up in the box on the shelf, right? My Pokemon cards, I got them all. They're, you know, I got to catch them all. I got a whole bunch of them. They're worth a lot more money than they used to be, but I keep them all closed up in a binder on the shelf. I only occasionally take them down to play with them. I remember there was a guy whose home we painted here in the neighborhood, just to illustrate the idea of a collectible item. He had like a fancy Cadillac from the 50s. It was probably worth a ton of money, but he never took it out and drove it. He just kept it parked in the garage. He didn't even know it was there. So we showed up, we're looking at the house. He goes, come here, I got to show you something. And we peek in through the garage windows, and lo and behold, he would have never guessed it, was this stunningly, shiningly mint-conditioned Cadillac parked in the garage. He says, I never take these out. They just sit in the garage. And the problem is we treat the Trinity, our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we treat him like a collectible item. He's not a car that you keep shut up in the garage, though. He's the commuter car. He's communion with God is what you use regularly. It's how you get around. And so I just want to move then from the existence of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit to what they do, their economy in this. So think with me about the activity of each person of the Godhead, what they do towards us. You have the love of God the Father. He says there in that verse, may the love of God be with you all. You think about the love of God our Father, that in Christ we know that he has chosen us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. You and I were surprised by this past week. You and I will be surprised by the week to come, but nothing surprises God our Father, who chose us. He loved us before we were even born and chose us in Jesus Christ. He is the one who has planned how we would come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you think about the things the Lord has used in your life to draw you to himself, you have a powerful Father. You have a Father who is giving you his very best. If there was something better or more glorious that he could have done, he would have done it. So we rest assured in the love of God the Father. Next we have, and this is, we're thinking about the God that we are having communion with, that we are fellowshipping with. We have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have his grace for us, which is contrary to our works. We were not able to earn the forgiveness of our sins. We have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a Savior who takes our sins from us and died for them upon the cross. We have our Savior who strengthens us to live, but Christ who lives in me. The Christian life is not just that you start in grace and then hop over to works and your own strength. The Christian life begins in grace. Jesus died to forgive me and continues in grace. His Spirit lives within me, strengthening me. We are communing with a God who, if you were sitting on an ocean, you sit there and one wave after another comes in. The waves don't stop. The water keeps coming. And so it is with the grace of Jesus Christ. It is a continual, John says in his gospel, we have all received from his fullness grace upon grace. It is a continued drawing down from Jesus what we need, not a trying to find within ourselves what we have. And so we fellowship with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the basis for all our communion with God. Jesus is why we can boldly approach a throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We may run to the Father because Jesus has opened the way for us. He is our way, and we are told to seek him. So the third and final person of the Trinity, we have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is kind of interesting as you think about that. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he is the one who applies all of the gift of God's grace to us, everything from our being born again to leading us to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ to even testifying to us that we are children of God, that when we cry out, we have assurance that God is hearing our prayers when we have believed in Christ. This is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the friendship that we have with God, the one who is the Spirit who is living within us. So the Trinity forms a sort of three-legged stool for our communion with God. If you had a three-legged stool and someone took away one of those legs, what would happen to you? You would fall off. You would lose your balance. And so we need this communion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we will find that nothing will be able to knock us off our spiritual course when we have a consistent communion with God. We will know the grand goal of our salvation is for the glory of God himself. We'll know that the foundation of our eternal life rests in the grace of Jesus Christ. We will have great assurance, the power of the Holy Spirit confirming to us the promises of God. So, in closing, as we look at this and think about, okay, how do I make sure that I don't treat the Holy Spirit like a collector's item? Three takeaways for you. First of all, you can pray to your Father and be confident of his love. In whatever trial, and however long the trial is lasting, whatever length of time, whatever endurance you are having to display, you can do so being confident of the love of your Father. It's part of having that communion with God. Secondly, you can be controlled by the grace of Jesus Christ. Controlled by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is different than having faith in a legalism where you think I've got to do good works to earn God's favor, and so you're wrestling with guilt all the time. That's legalism. We can also fall into license where we think, well, I've tried to do some things differently in my life in the way that God wants, but I don't think I can do it. I don't have the power in myself. Well, you don't want to be controlled by license either, which is just I'm free to live however I want because God forgives me. We need to commune with the grace of Jesus, which says you are not only forgiven, but the Spirit is freeing you to walk with him in the way that he wants. And so the grace of Jesus needs to control your life. So it's good to pray to the Father and be confident of his love, but make sure that the grace of Jesus is controlling your life. You're not going back to works of the law. You're not running in sins that Jesus died to set you free from. And so we consider, where would this grace produce greater obedience in my life? And the third and final thing we can do is we can continue in the fellowship of the Spirit. This one is really important because, you know, if I was up to just left to my own words and my own feelings about my relationship with God, it would be pretty bleak. I can be like a spiritual Eeyore. Everybody know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? You know, oh, bother, oh, me. Well, the special thing of the Holy Spirit is he's not a spiritual Eeyore. He confirms to us the love of God and the truth of his word. So we have the Spirit to constantly deal with the doubts that we have and the discouragements that we face. The question is not if you have doubts and discouragements. The question is, where do you take them? Who do you take them to? And so it's important that we turn to the Spirit. We turn to the Bible with the Bible open, and the Spirit confirms to us and reminds us the truths of God's word, the promises given to us there, the goal of our life headed for eternal life with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I find this particularly in my life where ministry can be a challenging task. Sometimes the fruitfulness of ministry seems like it's a hopeful prospect, but I'm always able to be mindful of the Holy Spirit, who says that he is accompanying the word of God at work in the lives of people. And so we have every confidence when the Spirit is our comforter, telling us what we know to be true. I don't know what your particular trial may be. You may be preparing for a big change in life that's coming up. You may be having a hard time in your present job where you're at. You may be facing an uncertain question that you don't have the answers to because you can't see the future. The answer is to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who will confirm to you the promises of God, that he will be with you, he will walk with you, he will guide you. The only question is whether or not you're going to have a consistent communion with your God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't leave him like a collectible item on the shelf. He's made to be the car that you get around in day by day. He's everything we need. So may we not only contend for the Trinity, but may we consistently commune with this God in life. So, I invite you to pray with me. We'll thank the Lord for this little mini verse so full of things for us. Father, we thank you for the word which you have given to us. We are so thankful that we find in you your perfect love, the love of a father. We're thankful, Lord, for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the fact that we have in him one who is able to pardon our sins, and the one who promises that he is perfecting us in suffering. Lord, in any way that we are shaken by the trials which we are currently experiencing, help us to see that Jesus himself was also hard-pressed and also suffered much, and to see that he perfected the Father's will in his life through much trial. Lord, help us to look to the example of Jesus and to see that we're right on schedule with him, even as we learn to endure trials, and that we do so under your perfect plan. And, O Holy Spirit, help us to keep our nose in the Bible so that your words would ring loudest in our heart and in our ears. Lord, thank you for being a great God that we may walk closely with. Help us to commune with you and you with us. And, Lord, our prayer is that it would overflow to one another and to our children and to the people that you bring across our path. We love you, Lord, and we pray for these things in the name of Christ. Amen.